Nathaniel X with Commander Q.
36 XY Commander Q.
Thank you. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. It's it's about 8 a.m. 8 p.m. 8:10 maybe. Saturday, March 4th. There we go. Saturday, March 4th, 19. Excuse me. Saturday, March 4th, 2000. Davis Square, Someday Cafe, Somerville, Mass. And I've just bought this Panasonic portable stereo radio cassette recorder to resume my voice journal series. I'm not sure what volume this is, so I'm going to have to check on that, but this new volume has begun, and cool. That's it for now. Sure what time it is. I think it's about 11:30 p.m. Still March 4th, 2000. I'm presently walking from the Malden Center T station, approaching the intersection of Center and Commercial Streets in Malden, Mass. This is really neat. And I notice if I chose to get one, this machine can function with a microphone, which is cool. I'm going to test this just to make sure it's working okay. An external microphone, that is. Which has its advantages. I saw one tonight, and it essentially looks like it's a clip-on kind of microphone. It plugs into the machine, and then it has a clip that would, I suppose, could go on someone's collar or something like that. Well, the night is a mild one. It doesn't feel like spring yet, but it really doesn't feel like winter either. Today was a long, I don't know, it was an okay day, but it wasn't great, I have to say. I didn't get enough sleep. I woke up on Joe Chacon's couch far too early in the morning, fully clothed, even in my shoes. Light on, needing to take a horrendous piss. Cop car just went by. Rick, Monte, and I almost got busted last Sunday for smoking weed on the Boston Common. Didn't. Lucked out. But somehow it didn't feel lucky in some way. Felt like an infringement and a violation. The cops are about, maybe not all the time, but often. Anyway, I left Joe and I traveled by train to Cleveland Circle in Brookline to see a movie called The Wonder Boys with Michael Douglas and Tobey Maguire, and Unfortunately, it proved to be another movie that was not nearly as good as it reckoned itself to be. Conservative and complacent, I don't know, just not much. But it was comforting being in a theater. It was comforting sitting there in that environment on Saturday afternoon, achieving some kind of normality. These days seem like slippery rocks to me. I don't feel safe or comfortable very often. I feel safe and comfortable when I do feel safe and comfortable. It's usually when I'm engaged in work or reading, an activity, not in thought. When I think about things, I get nervous, I get tense, I get fearful, which is unfortunate, but it's true. And there's anything else that I can say regarding this. I can't deny that it's true because, well, that would be false. So, not much brilliance in that statement, but when I'm doing my work, when I'm about my work, I'm fine. Ever since that cop car passed, I've been having visions of being stopped. The modern police have never once stopped me and talked to me, except for the time the off-duty cop almost hit me on the very street I'm on right now. Name I forget, but it's the street that runs behind the Stop and Shop Plaza. But they've never... No, I take that back. There was one time. I was sitting on the 60s Rock on Canal Street, and this cop came up, and I was tripping at the time, which was kind of neat. And I was sitting there writing, and this guy was... He was trying to ascertain what I was doing. I was sitting there and writing, and he couldn't seem to determine that I was doing anything dangerous or illegal. And so he moved along. And I was tripped out, so, you know, there it is. 7 days since I've tripped. It's going to be a lot longer than that before I do it again. I have to get my shit together. That's what this month is about. It's about getting shit together and making real progress. I need security. I need security more than anything else. The ground beneath my feet is not stable. Or if it is, I don't feel that way. I feel like I don't trust it all that much. I feel vulnerable. I feel like a phone call, an email message, an encounter. I'm strong enough these days. Do well when there's no conflict. I'm on Canal Street, by the way. I'm not sure if it's past midnight, so I'm not sure if it's actually Carnell Street, but I'm going to assume it's not. Anyway, I've achieved a level of security, which is one that, I'm not putting this right, I feel secure when I'm alone and when I'm working. I feel secure when I'm alone and working. I feel far less secure in social situations, and at that job I work at, Harvard Business School Publishing in Watertown. The only time I'm going to say that name in its fullness on this tape. I feel least secure. I feel quite vulnerable. And the only thing I think about that job is that every day I arrive at it and get through it and come out the other side without quitting it is another $100 I've earned. I earn $100 a day there for what goes on the record books is 8 hours of work. That's a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. It's a lot of money. It means I earn approximately $2,000 per month. Now my rent is $500 a month currently. My bills, a couple hundred at best, I guess. Maybe a little bit more. Likely a little bit less if I wasn't always falling behind and making payment arrangements and catching up and so on and so forth. What I'm trying to say is that I don't think that. I think that my expenses amount to not much more than half of that amount of money that I'm earning. And certainly if I took away things that I'm doing now that I'm only able to do because I have an income, like buying tickets to multiple fish shows, buying ticket to see Burning Man, things that are not necessary just to survive, or however you'd put it. I mean, these things aren't necessary to me, that's why I spend my precious money on them, but if I was in desperate straits, I would live without them for a temporary period of time and seek to return to them as soon as I could. But in any event, I make way more money than I spend, and that's the bottom line. I hate the job. Hate it awfully. I don't much care for the people. I don't much care for the environment. I certainly don't much care for the part where I get up at 6 a.m. And going back to what I was saying before about this month, I need to get a different job, but I need to get the same pay rate or better. I make $15.50 an hour, which is a lot of money. A cop car just went by. I don't see it slowing or anything like that. I'm now walking past the weeds are on my left hand side. I'm passing the 60s rock right now with its peace sign and LSD equals God sign. They're actually graffiti made in lipstick on two separate occasions when they came upon lipstick capsules and used them. I remember one time I stopped in front of the 60s rock just to appreciate it. I remember there used to be a show called The Grateful Dead Hour in Boston, and I would occasionally end up sitting on the 60s rock listening to it. Anyway, I'm across the street from the Rum Tech building, though I'm still facing the 60s rock, and I'm looking down the road toward Medford Street, and the long line of weeds that line the road on the side of the road that I'm on, which is across from the Rome Tech building, which has been empty for a long time. Rome Tech went out of business, oh, I guess it must be a couple of years ago now. And for a while there was a follow-up build company. There was a company that occupied the space for a while. They had a sort of a makeshift sign, and the funny thing is they never took down the sort of fancy glass sign that says Rome, next to which says is the for lease sign. So I need a better job. But what I need more than anything is the complex of things that sum to a sense of security. And I don't have these things. And I think that part of what would make me feel secure would be having a woman. And I've thought this for a long time. And I can't seem to do anything about it. My efforts, such as they are, don't seem to come to anything, which is frustrating. The weeds I've been writing about in Bags and News, rather, Algernon Beagle has been writing about in Bags and News. I believe that everything in the cosmos is connected and that I'm never truly alone. But on a day-to-day level, I'm lonely and needful far too often, and sad and bereft far too often. I have too much time on my hands. And I'm not any more productive than I would be if I was in a good relationship, because I think that a good relationship would fill up the time that I have free, but the part of the time that I have free that I don't use very well. When I'm tired, when I'm frustrated. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know the answer anymore. I've been reading Dune by Frank Herbert. And I'm deeply grateful for this book. Nearing Medford Street, looking back down Canal Street, appreciating how it's never dark on Canal Street. Never dark. It's always lit, even in the middle of the night. Street lamps are on. They're always on. Always. Night. Dune's a wonderful novel. It's interesting. It's well written. Dramatic. It flows wisely and wonderfully. It's given me some really happy moments. At my job during my lunch hour when I needed to get out of my head and away from the job. And I would just sit and open up my copy of Dune, which I found in the lunchroom of the job, by the way. It's actually, I suppose theoretically, belongs to them. Though, I've made it my own and I don't think anybody there would really give a damn. I'm now in the Bell Rock Cemetery. Hello, spirits. I'm really tired tonight. I'm holding a tape recorder. I haven't had one in quite some time, months really. My last one broke, the one I brought to Burning Man, and it took me till today to buy another one at the cost of a couple of blanket sets and some batteries. I spent $68. Tired spirits. I want to sleep tonight. I want to read in my bed, and I want to sleep. I'm really tired. But I wrote a lot today. Even though it's only March 4th and I have a long stretch ahead, nonetheless, I can report that I'm at over 8 pages a day. I'm doing well so far. I'm off to a good start. I feel happy about it. Sound of the train in the distance. Sound of traffic. Tired spirits. Tired. I'm hoping to get a good night's sleep. A long one. And then tomorrow get up and begin work again. Voices of people living in the houses nearby. Near the Amati Tamarack. He hasn't been out to Malden to see my setup. One of the things I'd like to do tomorrow is change my setup completely. In a sense, I'd like to move my computer equipment over to my cenacle table. Move the copy stuff elsewhere. Anyway, I love you all. Hope you don't mind recording this. Someday I'll listen, someday someone else will listen. Clear night, just a bit of a breeze. A clean, chilly breeze. Trees are bare. The sky is cloudy. It's overcast. It's late winter. This is pretty much what it's like in late winter. Things are pending. Things are pending. I feel sad, almost to tears. And I know it's at least partly attributable to being very tired. Not enough sleep. And I'm gonna try and solve that tonight by getting as much sleep as I can. But the other part is yet another night coming home alone. I lived alone since 94. 94? No, 96. 3.5 years I've lived alone. on anymore. And I don't want to live like in Cambridge with one or two people I love and other people I can't stand or just don't think much of. I want to live with loved ones who welcome me like when I was a kid. Up until when I was 20, I would come home from the big bad world and my home life was fucked up as anything. But I was welcomed and I was needed. Christine was always happy to see me, and the rest were too. I'm sorry things weren't good overall. I'm sorry things were so screwed up there. But it planted in me something. A need for home. Need for home. I'm not gonna find it tonight. Maybe not even anytime soon. But it's one of my dearest quests to find home. To find home for my work. To find home for my body. My spirit, for everything, and to be home for someone else, others, to come back to a place and know there are people there. There are people there waiting for me, or I'm there and they're coming. It's wonderful. Something I long for. Tree just tapped me. I don't know. Admonishment? Gesture? I'm not sure. Trees often tap me. And one could say it's just random walking by a tree, but I don't think trees are like that. I don't think trees are random creatures. I don't think that things are random. Dune is definitely a book about things not being random. It's kind of funny. I'm done with this. Approaching the steps of my building. I'm ready to power down. Either in a couple of minutes or soon I will figure out what volume this is and mark it accordingly.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36
Darling, you sent me, I know you sent me. Darling, you sent me, honest you do, honest you do, honest you do. Whoa. first I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Whoa, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know, I know, I know.
Every 3,000 miles because you're too busy, so you push it. Just like you keep
Sunday, March 5th, 2:34 p.m., Newman Road, Malden, Mass. I'm at a desk that at the moment contains my computer.
You ought to change your oil on time, but if you can't,
I've been
quicker state. It's been tested.
Cleaning my place.
What more you need to know?
I don't know. Doing all sorts of things today, some of which I can't remember. I should find out what volume this is right now. X-Files is on. Rerun. Trying to remember what I've been doing all day.
In fact,
I was sitting at the computer. And oh, I know. I was working on Jellicle Guild cards all day. And then I've been watching TV for a while. Now I'm finding my...
Amy Cassandra believed that she was an alien and that
thing. Some bucks.
According to an article I read on Amy, she had begun psychiatric treatment that was effectively recovering her past. There
were I wonder if 22, volume 21 is done. I have to check on this. Alright, more later. It's 7:50 p.m. I'm in my bed. I'm watching The Simpsons. This is indeed volume 22 of this voice journal. $1 million. I don't know you anymore. From all the there hasn't been. The previous volume ended in October. That's about 4.5 months ago. I have to do my laundry. And drop off my film. Burning Man film, funnily enough. That's where this tape project started.
No, you're too heavy! It's a glandular problem!
Ah! Whoa!
Orla!
Shut!
Mole people!
There is no escape from the fortress of the moles. Oh, get back.
No! Oh, Lord, you saved me.
I guess you had some higher purpose in mind.
Hey, out! Oh, dumbass. You trying to get yourself killed?
Not anymore, Ron. Now I'm looking for something to dedicate my life to. Something noble but easy.
Daddy, stop talking to that bum.
Look, I'd love to help you out, Homer, but I'm taking my kids to the zoo.
That's great. Even big stars take their kids to the zoo.
Well, it's a different zoo, containing animals you've never heard of.
Daddy, we're missing the Fantastic Barnabas. She only sings twice a day.
That's it. Kids are the answer. I'll dedicate my life to my children.
Really? You have children? Oh, well, look, here's some money.
No, I don't want your pity or your money.
Usually when you say that, you give the money back.
Are you what now?
Yoink.
Listen, boy, I was wondering if you could use a little more fatherly attention.
No need, Dad. Over the years, I've learned to find father figures wherever I can. Construction workers, the internet, and Nelson here.
If you tie a string around your finger real tight, you can make it turn purple.
I can see I'm not needed here. Issa, honey, do you need any help with your homework?
Sure. You can help me find three words where Y is the vowel.
I think so blind. I'll lavish my attention on Maggie, the forgotten Simpson. Maggie. It's me, Daddy. Daddy can spend a lot more time with you. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, where is he? There you are. Hi, Maggie. I'm Homie Womie, the Teletubby. And I'm all man in case you heard otherwise. Let's see what's done. Tummy vision. Don't be scared, Maggie. Anyone drop you? You're a tough cookie, Maggie, but I'm gonna win you over, just like I did with Lisa. Hi, honey.
Okay, Dad. This is where your child's trust in you really pays off.
Hi, Maggie. You can trust me. Come to Daddy. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. I'm sorry, Maggie. I never realized things between us had gotten this bad. What are you pointing at? The ocean? That's a great idea. We'll swim in the ocean. See, Maggie? The ocean is just like a bathtub. Just instead of rubber duckies, it has barracudas and moray eels. Nothing to worry about. Just a little wave. And this riptide is certainly nothing Daddy can't struggle against. Help! Help! Somebody help! Oh, sure. Too strong. I know. If I sink to the bottom, I can run to the shore. Maggie, call Aquaman!
Maggie, call Aquaman.
Superhuman strength.
And all I care about is that my little girl loves me. Oh, and we're going to spend a lot more time together from now on.
Good girl, Maggie! You knocked out all the pins! But you stepped over the line just a little bit, so I'll have to give you a 5. And that gives you a final score of 295. Looks like Daddy won, but 295 is awfully good for a baby. Yes, it is. It's very good, and you're a good little baby.
Yes, you are.
What a cool show, man. What a fucking cool show. Okay. I've got a function. I've only managed to do Jellicle Gill cards today, not much else, so I gotta do something more. Alright. And there's no X-Files. And the night's getting old, so there you go. Alright. More later.
The network that brought you The Simpsons, The Hills, and Malcolm will restore your faith.
I hear something saying.
The sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away. Then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying, my, 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 my. My work is so hard, give me water. I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, whoa, whoa, my.
Monday, March 6th, 2000, 10 p.m. or so. In downtown Malden, near the Stop and Shop Plaza, I've just come from Walgreens, where I dropped off 12 rolls of film. We ran ready Wednesday after 2, so then I'm a guess that night I'll get the film, I'll go through it, I'll pick out a bunch of pictures that send to Barbara, which will a very small number of which will go in my Two Vessels poem. That she's going to create this week. She's going to start with my manuscript poems and so on, and photographs, and she's going to create something. And I'll be damned if I know what. I'll be damned if she knows what. Anyway, last night after I signed off this journal, I did laundry, and I watched the movie Contact, which I'd seen before. I don't know what else I accomplished, really. I wanted to accomplish more. I wrote. I did my journal. And I wrote my thoughts pad a little bit. It didn't add up to very much. Today's been good, though. Watching a shadow of one's hair out of place is most annoying. I wonder if this is working. Yep, it's working. Okay, coming around the corner from the street that is behind Stop and Shop. His name I don't know. Of course, there's no street signs because it's fucking Walden. On to Canal Street from a different direction than usual, but arrived anyway. Where things hardly change, and that's good. Today, I'm very close to completing the copying for Senecal 3637, the summer 99 issue, the Burning Man issue. Just a couple of, basically the covers and a double check on how the last couple of pages are set up remain. Happily, and that'll be done. And tonight I wrote a whole issue of Bags and News at the Diesel Cafe in Somerville, Mass., Davis Square. Took me almost 2 hours, but I did it. Felt good. Really felt good. I wrote a lot of thoughts pad. I wrote my journal today. I just brought in the film. I've proofread up to number 17 of, up through number 17 of the Two Vessels poems. It's exciting to be both. Well, both, huh? It's not even both. It's multiple things. I'm doing creative writing. I'm working a job that's financing all this stuff. I'm working on my publishing projects. I'm editing Joe's book. And I've been reading Dune and listening to music all day. And I'm fucking feeling beat to shit. I'm not going to be able to stay up very late once I get home. But I don't really have to, because I done what I had to do, essentially. Not completely. There's more shit to do, unfortunately. But I'm going to try and make all that stuff happen as rapidly as possible. Oops. Sorry. Anyway, I'm about to be walking past the Mystic Valley Gun Club. I'm on the sidewalk right next to the gun club. And the funny thing is, I'm walking down Canal Street, where, at least in my story, a fierce battle took place. I guess it's still taking place between Algernon and the Weeds on one side and Betsy Bunny Pillow on the other. It's funny, it's silly, I like it. I don't care if anybody else does. I don't think I've read Bags In to anybody in a couple of years. Though I'm considering it seriously for the Jellicle Guild. Mailed out Jellicle Guild cards. Other thing. I did all sorts of shit tonight, man. I just did everything. And I mailed out the Jellicle Guild 2000 statement, I seem to be calling it, to Rick Amonte, Ron Biskowitz, and Jack Heitner, none of whom I have email addresses for. So I printed up copies for them, and I mailed those copies tonight, along with the postcards. So, I've done everything for the Jellicle Guild I can do. I've done everything I can do, and now, it's a matter of all that has to be accomplished between now and then, which is a lot. I need Joe's book by Thursday night. I need to essentially do Joe's book and the new Cynical. And of course, a lot of that involves Barbara, but it involves getting the work to Barbara so she can do her thing, which is taking the raw pieces that I provide and making them nice. And I'm sure she's going to do a great job. Ah, the 60s rock.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
And spirit and all right,
somewhere up a New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young, twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting, everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting, they're twisting the night away. Here's a man in evening clothes, how he got here I don't know, but man, you ought to see him go, twisting the night away. He's dancing with the chicken slacks, She's moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night. Let's twist a while. Dancing with the older queen, who's dolled up in her diamond rings and twisting the night away. Man, you ought to see her go, twisting to the rock and roll. Here you find the young and old, twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting, man. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night. One more time.
Wow, the power of a pause button, man. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Couldn't make my machine work because the fucking pause button was on. I hate these machines that have too many fucking buttons. It's like, why pause when you can fucking hit the stop button? Anyway. Weeds like me again. Because not only am I writing bags in, but I'm writing about them. Too much fucking activity tonight. Too many fucking cars, too many fucking people. I prefer to be around Malden when there's no fucking activity at all. So anyway, film is dropped off. Jellicle-killed cards are made. I'm almost done photocopying Burning Man Zenicle. I mean, I'm making progress. I was so far behind. I think it fucking traumatized me. And I blame my thesis. Which isn't exactly to blame. It's a good scapegoat. Rick read it and really liked it. Which, I don't know, I guess that's good. It's hard to say. And then Joe Page threw it, got handed on to him. I think he'll like it too. You know. You know what? I'd so much rather be having a night like tonight than all of last fall. I want to go forward. I want to progress. Oh, but there was a wonderful, scary fucking line in Dune that I read tonight about progress being sort of a salve against the terrors of what the future holds. Dune's a fucking awesome book, man. It's just a fucking awesome book. I'm glad I left at 20 to 5 today. Accomplished a lot because I left so early, because I got shit done within the working day rather than waiting till afterward. But when Rebecca's back tomorrow, I don't know what'll happen. Is it possible she wrote to me today? I don't know. She's never written to me other than responding to my messages. I'm interested to know if I'm on her mind in my absence. Is it absence makes the heart grow fonder, or out of sight, out of mind? I don't know. I've left Canal Street anyway. And I'm about to step into the Bell Rock Cemetery, which takes me in, good, bad, or ugly. We accept each other. God, I've been here when the snow is piled high, when it's fucking wet, and sometimes it's just perfect. Tonight's beautiful. Tonight's beautiful. So I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know if I'm ever gonna know. The plane passing overhead. It's fucking amazing that things can fly. They're heavier than air. A force is built up that's more powerful than gravity. Things can fly. I don't understand it. Trees are bare. They're beautiful. Hello, spirits. I guess I'm recording my talk with you again. It was a good day. But I don't know, just having to, it's like at the end, when I'm tired and vulnerable, the fucking tea plays its fucking games of stopping and sitting for a long time at a station. And then I encounter this weird ass fucking woman at the Walgreens where I'm dropping off my film, who makes me feel fucking weird about dropping off film. Her eyes bug out. You're dropping off all that? It's like, fuck that, man. You know, I just, you know, it's like, I have so few interactions with people in Malden, and they're all so fucked, basically. I never have a good one, hardly ever. And it depresses me. And it prejudices me. But I feel I have at least some reason. If I had encounters and they were friendly ones, I'd be encouraged to have more of them. As it is, I just don't seek them out at all. You know, it's like, I'm just not like them here in this town. I'm just not. We just don't inhabit the same reality. Not really, not in our heads. Oh, but it's a beautiful night. Stars are out. It's good to be alive. I hope someday my daughter is listening to this tape. I love you. I don't know who your mother's going to be. I don't know where or when you're going to be born. I don't know anything about you right now, except I dearly want you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to raise you as best I can. I'm going to love your mother as best I can. And I hope that I do better than my parents did with me and the others, because that would give me some sense of justice, which I don't feel right now. I feel an awful lack of justice in the world. It's not a bad world. I just don't feel it's justice. I don't know if you listen to this tape. I don't know what you'll think about me when you do. I don't know how old you'll be. But I love you. So far in advance of you being born and old enough to care or want to listen to this and want to know who I was now or any other time. But someday I'm going to be your daddy. And I'm going to love you. I don't know what to say. Sorry, spirits. My mind is wandering. I'm tired. Oh, another plane going overhead. God, I wish I was tripping tonight. Wish I didn't have to go to work tomorrow. I miss tripping. It's been 8 days. And, I think it's at night when I miss it the most. I just wish I didn't have to go there tomorrow. But I do. And good night, spirits. I love you. I'm leaving the Bell Rock Cemetery. Pausing just outside of it. I love you all. Oh. Tired. Tired. Daughter. Tired. Daughter. I can't even imagine you. Yet I can. There's a poem in my two vessel sequence, which I see a little girl in a Nevada supermarket. A little red-haired girl in tie-dye, and she looks at me, and her expression, as I interpret it for my own purposes, I guess, is, you're not ready for me or my mother. You're not ready to be a husband or a father. You have things to do. But I'm 35 years old, daughter. If you were born to me now, I'd be 53 when you graduate high school. I think I'm going to be a rowdy motherfucker then, as I am now, as I've always been, but It's scary. It's scary. And that's if I met your mother, and got her with child, as it were. Now, I mean, I'll be 36 by the time you'd be born, and that's if I made love to her and inseminated her tonight. What will you be like? I don't know. What will you be like? You'll be beautiful. It'll be wonderful. You'll give me back things I haven't had in a long time, and God, I'll strive to make you happy. I'll strive to make your mother happy. Because unlike me, I want you to grow up in a healthy environment with loving parents. And I'll keep churning out the babies when they have no fucking money and they have bad fucking seed amongst them. They fucked up, daughter, I'm sorry. Thinking about you, I guess I think about them. Anyway. Well, here I am to my door. Another night done. No more of this. Good night. March 9th, 2000. 8:45 p.m. or so. Leaving the Malden Center T station near the corner of Commercial and Center Streets. It's a beautiful night. It's mild. No rain, though there may be some coming. I haven't engaged this journal in a couple of days. Well, I've engaged this tape player, but I've engaged it for playing, not for recording. I almost feel like getting drunk tonight. But I'm going to pass by the liquor store that I'm approaching, and I'm going to fail to enter it. I'm going to save it up for tomorrow night when I'm supposed to see Rick. But noises around me, train, commuter train passing. 50 yards to my right, and I'll go maybe 50 feet off the ground. No, I'm not going to go into Cappy's. Well, I'm tired. I'm tired. Myself. I guess began a month ago. This is March 9th, and my current push began on February 9th. For the past month, I've been pushing myself. I don't know if I pushed myself harder. I don't know if I pushed myself as hard. I don't know, but it's been pretty fucking hard. I've been pushing myself to keep my shit together, get it together. And I've made progress in a lot of ways. It's funny that I met Rebecca a month ago, just about this time. She showed up out of the blue. I first wrote to her on Valentine's Day. I wrote her another letter tonight. She likes my letters. She likes me. I wrote it to her from Aban Pan Cafe, courtyard, my table. Hadn't been there all year. Well, hasn't been much of a year yet. It's only been a couple of, less than 2.5 months of it, but whatever. It's just, it was a nice night. I didn't know where else to go, and, well, the night kind of chose it. I mean, the weather. I'd rather be there, out of doors. I wish I wasn't so tired. It's not exactly a physical tiredness. It's an emotional tiredness. It's the tiredness of trying to hold so much shit together and feeling like it's virtually impossible to do anything close to succeeding in that regard. Damn, I want to drop. Damn, I want to fucking drop. Ah, a shopping cart presents itself when I am burdened with bags. I never say no to shopping carts. I love shopping carts. I always will. For my paper route, I wrote Rebecca not that long a letter tonight. Only 6 pages compared to 8 or 9 yesterday and 10 or thereabouts the day before. I don't know what she feels toward me. Stupid cart has a kind of a drift to the right, so I'm just gonna have to drag it walking alongside it on the left hand side. I'm gonna see if this is working. Yes, it's working fine. Okay. And rounding the corner to Canal Street. I don't have a radio show this Saturday. Frankly, I don't anticipate having a radio show for a while. Austin Brighton Free Radio has lost its appeal for me. It was offered a Saturday 2 to 3 p.m. show. And then that offer, that show was given to someone else, and I was not informed, and I was ignored, and frankly, I don't need it. I have a good working relationship with Alan Nidal. And I believe he will get Radio Free Cambridge back on the air. And I just can't shift my loyalty, especially to someone who doesn't know me from Adam. And I don't think he gives a fuck. I think he's got his core, he's got his crew. Meanwhile, I see Alan every week at our meetings in lieu of programming. But I show up. I show up, and, you know, he sees me there. Damn it, when the fucking station goes back on the air, I will have my show back, you know. There's just no doubt of that. We had a good working relationship before, and it's crises like this that, I don't know, in a way they... They bring the people involved closer together. It's an old adage or whatever, but it's true. So I'm going to be showing up for the third consecutive Saturday at 5 o'clock to hear what the latest is. And this Saturday I'm showing up without... I guess my interest in the other station peaked between Sunday ago and last Saturday. I went to the fundraiser, I talked to Steve Provisor, I sent notes. I thought he was going to show up at Radio Free Cambridge's meeting to, you know, he'd been asked to come and show up and talk about his project, and he didn't. And well, he may have had a good reason, but frankly, the pathetic fundraiser, the no-show at the Radio Free Cambridge meeting, and offering me a show, and then I don't know. He just—it's like he offered it to me, and then he forgot he offered it to me. That's not someone who takes me seriously. And I suppose if I really wanted to do radio, and I didn't have any other options, and Radio Free Cambridge was definitely cooked, done, over, I might just keep in touch with him until something opens, and I might just take what I can take, you know, just to get myself in there. But an hour-long show? No. Whatever's available, I don't know. As soon as Alan gets back on the air, as soon as he fucking gets back on the air, I get my slot back. That's the bottom line. I heard ideas thrown around last week that I didn't like. AM radio. What sounded to me like pipe dream fundraisers. But my friend Nick Winnikin was there, and he was a lot more enthused than I was about the whole thing. I was kind of depressed that it seemed like no progress had been made. But he felt there was momentum. And that's good. Unless I get a message from Provisor really offering me a definite shift, which he did, then he retracted it, then he said, offered me a maybe, and I said, I don't know, let me know if there's something definite, and that's that. That was all. So, I would like to do more for Radio Free Cambridge than I have, but you know, a plan has to be fixed upon, and people have to be given things to do. If I'm given something to do at this point, I'll fucking do it. And I think that's what I want to say, but I'm hoping that when they show up on Saturday, that there's something to be said. And the thing that is, Well, I can show up one more Saturday after that, but I can't show up on the 25th. I don't resent it so much now, though. I realize that Radio Free Cambridge is it's important to me. And the funny thing tonight was that being at Auburn Pan Cafe, and there's this older Native American guy came up to me and said hello, and said hello to him for years, and I asked him his name, and he said Raul, and I told him my name, told me he was from Mexico. I don't know, I just somehow Cambridge figures in my fate. It's been there all along, and it's just, it continues to be there. It continues to be there. It's a place of potency. And Rebecca, I don't know. Juggling in the chat room, Rebecca and Samantha tonight. But I did it well. Samantha has no more romantic interest in me. And I didn't press her on anything like that. I merely encouraged her with her spiritual studies. Rebecca had some idea about Samantha's existence. Saw that I was kind, but not interested. As Rebecca gets to know me better, she'll trust me more. I have to be consistent. I have to be patient. And I don't know what the heck's going to happen even if I do that. I am limping along Redwood Street. Well, not literally limping, but just exhausted and burdened. I'm going to take this cart right to near New Renard. Going to see my friends of spirits tonight, except alongside them, but I'm so tired. So tired. Every day Rebecca shows up. Every day that doing any fucking favors. Alright. Seeing Medford Street is always a fucking entertainment. Long lines of cars both ways. Fuck them all. This morning I saw a van somewhere on my walk to the T station. Left blinker on, taking a right. Brilliant. I'm walking along. Pelinuck Cemetery side it. Looking in. It's beautiful from here. Beautiful when I'm there. Always, always a place of beauty. What was I saying? I was talking about Rebecca. I was saying that she continues to allow me to court her. That's the bottom line. I court her. She knows I'm courting her. She loves it. When she and I are both at Land's End and I fall silent or don't speak to her for a while, she always seeks out my attention. But she's skittish. Gwen, who is named Scarlet, me in the chat room, we had a long talk about Rebecca this morning, and Gwen said that Rebecca was involved with an English man. They came to Chicago together, and he dumped her and left. She also said that she thinks Rebecca is the kind of girl who builds up relationships very slowly. And about that, I don't doubt. And who knows, maybe I'll get a fucking message tonight amongst my email in response to a long, long letter I wrote last night. Finally was able to send her this afternoon saying, get the hint, boy. She likes my attention. It makes her feel good. Even though she can't always handle the intensity. That I bring to the thing. She never lets me out of her sight when she's there. Gwen said she's in Chicago and she doesn't know a lot of people. I'm loyal to her. There's a guy I know at Land's End whose screen name is Colcado. His name is Chip. He lives in New York and he's been encouraging me to look in the direction of this girl who showed up there a couple of times, who lives somewhere near Boston. I told him I'm not interested in her. And it's true. I'm interested in Rebecca. And I have a feeling I'm in this for the long haul. And the earliest we'll meet will be May, which means 2 months. Gwen's gonna meet her next weekend. Less and less do I feel that I'm going to find out anything that's going to discourage me from my courting of her. I'm going to hold this in my hand. Turn it off, maybe for a bit. But ultimately, I want to check my email and see if I've gotten any replies from her. Read them live on tape. Okay, so pause for a couple minutes. Seven p.m. Newman Road. I'm at my desk. My computer is on, and I'm opening up. I'm establishing an internet/email connection. Oh Good, okay, that went well. And now I'm going to open up Outlook Express, which is my email program. And if this opens well, I'll check my email and see if she's written anything to me. Okay, it opened up okay. I'm hitting the send and receive button. Messages incoming. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Ooh, the last one is long. Yes, all right. I sent Rebecca the lyrics to a song called Hallie's Comet, composed by Fish. She was looking for the lyrics. And I sent them to her. Sent to Rebecca. That was such a fucking struggle. The fucking computers fucking kept breaking. Have much time to write this because WWF SmackDown is on. Just wanted to tell you that it is in Boston this week. Cool, ha ha ha. Well, actually, I think it was taped on Tuesday, but it's still cool. Bye, sweetie Laura. That would be one of the girls from Land's End. And the final message is from Joe. It's a poem. I'm going to read it on tape for the hell of it. This tape is running on, but this is Joe's poem sent to me tonight. Looks like it's called Thoughts. Ray, if you decide to write an intro, say something about not knowing what's in my head and how this relates to the poems that are in this section. which are not really the ones that you feel the best among the lot. Again, sorry about the delay. I just thought you might like to read one of the new poems I've been working with. Perhaps you'll understand why I need more time to make sense out of where my poetic head lies right now. Thoughts while sipping Jersey ice cream out of a blazing cup in sight of the swirling dust on a hot March evening on Boylston Street while looking through the window of the antique store before the rain. Oh my goodness. Oh, I can't do this. I'm going to print this because I just can't do this. I'm going to cheat and print it because I want to see what the hell it is he's writing. Alright, so the new one, there's one and then he said disregard first one. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of it because I'll be tempted to look at it. Delete. Over. Done. Bang. Boy, these girls, they sure think of me. I just wish one of them would fucking take the plunge. Alright. Alright, so nothing from Rebecca tonight. So that's all I really wanted to say into this thing. Other things, delightful things, happy things, unexpected things, but none from Rebecca. Yes, I'm in love with her. Right? I don't know what that means. I don't know where it's going. But there it is. Right? Okay. It's said. I'm in. I'm in. Right? I'm in.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
Heart for me, Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Now, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm in distress. There's danger of me losing all of my happiness. For I love a girl who doesn't know I exist, and this you can fix. So, Cupid, draw back your elbow-o, and let your arrow go-o straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me. Cupid, please hear my cry, and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Now, Cupid, if your arrow make a love stone for me, I promise I will love her until eternity. I know between the two of us her heart we can steal. Help me if you will. So, Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me. Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Now, Cupid, don't you hear me calling you? I need you, Cupid, help me. I need you, Cupid, don't fail me.
Friday, March 10th, 2000, about 3 p.m. I'm currently in Watertown, Massachusetts, near Harvard Business School Publishing, where I work. I'm going to test this to make sure it's okay. And it is. I'm about to step onto Arsenal Street in Watertown, heading for a pizza joint I haven't been to in a while to get some food. Rebecca wrote to me this morning about 9, wonderful message, short and sweet. She encourages me. She has a testing. Testing 1, 2. Problem is I'm not getting anything in my microphone. Hello, hello. Not getting any sounds from my headphones that this is recording, but I keep checking it and it is. So I'm gonna go with that. Anyway, she sent me a short, sweet message. She's in too, I think. She calls me sweet one. And, so anyway, I sent her the message. I just now typed up the letter I wrote her last night, and I sent it to her. And since she doesn't have a computer at home, I'm hoping that she gets it before she leaves her job, which is, she's a teacher at a school in Chicago. Anyway, so I worked like a fucking bastard so that I could have this next hour or so off so I could write. And I brought my whole array of notebooks, and I'm gonna read Dune, because tonight I see Rick, and that will definitely not be a writing situation. At least I don't anticipate it being one. So, I want to get to it now. I'm averaging over 10 pages a day so far this month. And I can't tell you how much I want to keep that up. And I can't tell you how much I'm glad it's the weekend. I have one last task to perform, which is to file a bunch of files. And that's it.
That's all. It's done. I leave. Get the 540 van, or the 520 van, to Harvard Square. Meet right there. The weekend begins. Anyway, so that's the report. Later.
Test, test, test. End of this volume of my journal, life journal.
Batteries.
Help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gonna come.